In his first home opener as a Philadelphia Eagle, D'Amico Ryans found himself in the middle of a defensive showdown.
Hey!
The first one at our house! The first one at our house! That's all one day to walk into! That's all one day to walk into today! It's our house! We show up and we show out at our house! Let them know what time it is!
We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official
review.
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 Preview.
Preview. Review.
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 Preview.
Preview. Review.
What up, gang? It is the Upon Official Review podcast back in action for another week. Football is back. The Phillies are kind of in it, kind of, sort of, a little bit.
A little bit.
Hanging
not
on
as
by
much
thread.
As we thought they would be at this stage last week, but more than we thought 2 weeks ago. So
exactly.
I guess that's that.
Exactly, that's that. So let's get right into it, man. There's to delay this, man. The Eagles are 2-0.
Just want to, you know, introduce ourselves. I'm Al, and my man Ari over there starting us off. Birds are 2-0, and 2 1-point victories, which would be the first team in the history of the National Football League to ever win the first two games by exactly 1 point.
Huh, is that true?
I've never heard this before.
That's kind of cool, I gotta say.
And I think they also lead the league in heart attacks given to their fans. They probably killed quite a few. I don't know where we could look the statistic up, but some people had to have died watching the Eagles.
I feel,
because I was close, and I'm, you know, still a pretty young man. I can imagine watching that as an older man with maybe not such a great heart. It wouldn't have gone so well. They definitely, you know, the 9 turnovers. That's the first thing anyone can. Really, I mean, it just jumps right out at you that
there's scary.
You know,
how does that happen?
I don't know how it happens, but every time Baltimore. Let's Baltimore's a great football team.
Yeah, they're really good.
They should have probably gone to the Super Bowl last year.
Yep.
Were
it not for a missed field goal.
Yeah, and let's not forget.
Or a drop touchdown.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, he caught it, but he didn't really bring it into the body or anything. He just assumed the play was over, while the New England defensive back, whose name escapes me, did not quit on the play and went and got his hands on the ball and slapped it out of the way. Right. To me, that, you know, you can't have that. You know, had he been thinking, oh, I better take care of, you know, and done everything correctly, he wouldn't have been able to slap it out of his hands. He had time, to me, to tuck it away a little bit better than he did, just kind of held it out in his hands. You know, that's a lot to think about all at once, but you know, anyway, the point is, they should have probably gone to the Super Bowl. Flacco outplayed Brady in the AFC Championship. This is a good football team. They put up 44 points against a playoff team last year in Week 1 against the Bengals, who made it to the playoffs. So that's not, we're not talking a total dog team.
No.
And they made it to the playoffs on their defense, too. Like, their offense wasn't great. You know, rookie quarterback and everything else. They have great wide receiver Green, but you know, Dalton was not a great quarterback last year. He was okay. He didn't kill them.
He made
or
the
anything.
Pro Bowl.
Yeah, but you know, the Pro,
I mean,
Bowl's
Pro Bowl
is a popularity contest.
Yeah,
more,
yeah.
I think.
And you
he
know,
was all right.
People
he was
play
all right. He was not
in
a great
it because
that's all I'm saying. He was not great.
Right.
He was all right. He didn't hurt the team. He managed the game well, but he wasn't winning games by himself. They were winning games on defense, and you know.
Yeah, I'd say that's true.
By playing smart football, and
I'd say that's true.
Things like that.
But yeah, 9 turnovers and 2 wins.
9 turnovers, and this was 9 turnovers, I believe, or 8 of them was by the end of the first half on Sunday there. So only 1 turnover in the second half, which is, or was there any in the second half?
There was the pick that was off of the hands of Brent.
Right. Okay. So yeah, but okay, that was like the flukiest one.
Yeah, that was the flukiest.
Don't blame anyone really for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And honestly, Lewis hit.
That should have been pass interference.
Hey, Lewis should have had committed pass interference.
Yes, it was. He was definitely.
He hit him early, all over him, and that created that turnover. So, to me, of course, the announcers don't even pick up on that. But that, to me, was the story of that turnover.
They don't want to get stabbed. Why would they talk about Ray Lewis?
That's a good point, actually. Good point. I wouldn't talk about him either. But
as you can see, Ray Lewis playing perfectly out there today.
Yeah. Okay, good point.
Doing
good
nothing point. Wrong.
Yes. The perfect football player.
The man is a saint.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But anyway, so the point is, the Eagles were moving the ball up and down the field. Like, I was just thinking, how do you win a game with four turnovers against a very good to possibly great football team? Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, all the turnovers were on the offensive side, so it was almost like a three and out with a punt. That's first of all. Second of all, you have to have an offense that literally moves it up and down the field every single possession. Because a lot of times, if you have four turnovers in the red zone, those are how many different – that might be the only four times you got in the red zone, and you're going to have 3 points.
Right.
We actually drove it down the field every time. We had a 500 yards total offense. So it had to be a game just like that, where all the turnovers, none of them gave them a short field, and we were able to move it down every time regardless of, you know, every single drive all game long. And they couldn't stop us for anything. So that's how you win a game with four turnovers against a really good team, I guess. You know, against Cleveland, it was obvious. They turned it over more. They sucked worse than we did. That's the only. And they didn't go for two. And, you know, and they, we were able to get that last. I think the thing you come out away from as an Eagles fan, I think it's impossible not to think this. If we can just take care of the football, we could be great.
Yeah.
I mean, we could be great. If we did that against Baltimore, I mean, if we don't, we only had two or one turnover in that game, that's a 45-23 football
game. Doubt about it. I was just about to say that. Yeah, if they don't turn the ball over in the red zone, even if they only score a touchdown on half the possessions.
One touchdown and three field goals, which is somewhat conservative. That's 16 extra points. Bang, 40 points right there.
Yeah, and then everybody's talking about the Eagles is, you know, top five power rankings. Cause thing, wow, they just killed the Ravens. Yeah.
Right. Now, I mean, it's obviously, it's a big if they can take care of the football.
If.
We could all see, you know, I was just looking at the schedule. I could really see the next six games, I'm losing all of them or winning all of them.
Right.
Or anything in between. Uh-huh. You know, everything has to be in play at this point. Like, every game one by one, I could say, well, I could see them winning or losing it. I expect them to go 0-6 or 6? No. But any individual game, I could see it going either way.
True.
You just never know with this team, you know. But if, and here's the thing, you know, had we had no turnovers so far, we'd be one of those teams right now blowing everybody out, peaking at the beginning of the year. You don't necessarily want that in
That's
football.
True. That's true. You want to peak at the end of
the year. Every year there's teams that end up 10-0, 12-0, and they're scoring 45 points a game, and they look like this unstoppable juggernaut, but they just start to kind of go back.
Or even last year when
the Packers. Look at the Packers.
Or Buffalo last year. They started 5-2 or 6-2.
5-1, I believe.
Yeah.
They were like 5-0, I think, maybe.
You might be right, yeah.
Yeah, they had a great start. They
were definitely 5-1 or 5-2 to start.
5-1, yeah, at least. But and then they just dogged it for the rest of the year. Now people were, Fitzpatrick, he was hurt. You know, it's like, yeah, well, he's also Fitzpatrick. That's another problem. That's a problem that isn't going to exactly get fixed.
Not going away. He will still wake up the next day.
Not going anywhere. He's still going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Exactly.
No matter how hard he wishes, he wasn't.
It's true.
So, you know.
He has an occasion to fall back on.
The Eagles, could they keep turning it over? Absolutely. You can see that. But if they fix it, you know, if they could round into midseason form, you know, you could really see this being a dominant. The defense is totally different. It's a different team from last year.
Yeah,
the two game-winning drives for touchdowns. That is, you know, it's not. I don't think that hard to get a game-winning drive for a field goal. That's why I was really nervous at the end of the game. What a great job of the defense. But not only has this team had two game-winning drives when we needed touchdowns and got them, then the defense made two stops both games. And that game, there was a minute 55 left with two timeouts for Baltimore. Basically all day.
All
to get
day.
The field goal.
And who's already hit a 56-yarder that day?
Oh, that guy was killing me. I'm just like, you know, it's like statistical certainty that any 60-yard field goal that gets tried against the Eagles is going in. That is like, if there was a way to gamble on that, I would be a millionaire. I mean, seriously. Like, right before that kick, it's like, you know it's going
in. It's going
in. No question. And then, of course, he made it by 10 yards. Yeah, that would have been good. So it's 66 somehow.
It
was like that. I'm like, what? You know, and that, of course.
Yep, I saw a couple. I walked away from the TV as I always do.
Yeah, it's just in disgust because you knew it was going to happen. It's just like that one against, remember, Tampa?
Yeah, I would say that. Brian, I think the same one
ever happened.
Yeah,
I don't remember maybe it was Brian.
Yeah. And then in the preseason, I went to the fourth preseason game, and Nick Folk for the Jets, hit like a 58-yarder.
It's unbelievable. They never miss them, and they always make them by like plenty.
Yeah.
It's just, it's unreal. I hate that. This is just life as an Eagles fan. It's, it's a torturous existence.
How does that happen?
Yeah. I just,
But yeah, you're right. The game-saving defensive stops.
Huge.
That was not in past Eagles teams.
Not at all. The soft Eagles defense of last year.
Yeah. Remember a couple years ago, several years ago now, remember when they were up on the Bears with Brian Greasy?
Yep, Brian Greasy with 2 minutes left.
They're like, there's no way Brian Greasy's going to beat it.
Just right down a throat, so yep. It's horrible.
It was. But this team stepped up.
That was like the last anyone ever heard of Brian Greasy. He's in a cave, living in a cave somewhere now.
That's true.
He's under a rock, and never again to emerge to see the sunlight.
Ryan! What time?
Bastard deserves it, too.
The other thing I was going to...
No, I'm glad. I'm really a quick tangent. I'm glad we're not playing the Bears this year because we are always better than the Bears, and we always blow it against them.
That's true.
I'm just sick and tired of watching us suck against the Bears every year for like the last 7 years. You know, they have a good defense, and they just killed us, but I still felt like there was just... We shot ourselves in the foot. The Eagles are the best team in the history of the football at shooting ourselves in the foot.
That's true. The Plaxico Burress disease. In the game-saving defensive stop at the end, they also got four extra downs because they got called for that defensive holding. Remember?
Awesome one, which was nice that it wasn't a pass interference.
Yes.
A couple of those calls that they decided to call the 5-yard is rather than spot of the foul against us, but the 5-yard and the first down. You know, you can live with that. When it happened, I thought it was going to be at spot of the foul. I'm like, crap.
I was like, yes, you know, we got him to fourth down. And then I was like, oh, no, a flag. And as soon as I got three more downs, I said, oh, here we go again.
Yeah, it was not looking good. But you know what? I will say the defense, you know, and if this is what we said before the season last year. Wow, they don't have a single linebacker on the roster. I mean, here's what I was saying last year was, boy, the best linebacker we have, if he could be our third best linebacker, that's what we need. On the roster right now, if we could get two linebackers better than anyone we have, now we're talking, and then we'd have a good defense. And sure enough, they went out, and like I was afraid that they went out and got DeMeco Ryans. I was afraid that they would stand pat then and say, oh, well, we got a linebacker, so get off our backs. But they didn't. They spent a second-round pick. I was so happy on that second-round pick. I was just – I didn't care what else happened the rest of that draft. I said, perfect. They got me a linebacker. And it looks like it's going to be a good one. And DeMeco Ryans, while he didn't play well in the preseason, shows how silly we are to worry about the preseason. We're all like, oh, he's done. And he's been awesome. He's been the best player on defense.
12 solo tackles, a sack, and an interception.
Yep. He's been awesome. And with him and Michael Kendricks now, with a wide nine, it works because we have good linebackers. And you know
that can move.
Right now, our getting rid of Asante Samuel is paying huge dividends because – Asawa, you don't see him too much. You see him made a couple mistakes, but really they don't throw to him much. And it's really helping Cromartie because he's been awesome.
Yeah, he really has.
He gets more of the throws, and he's making interceptions, making plays all over the field. So really our defense just looks awesome, and it gives you hope. Again, right now they're not playing well as a team because of the turnovers, but they're winning. You know, at the end of the year, these games won't have anything to do with the team that's on the field in December because they're going to be a much different team than a better team. You play all year long, you're going to be better. And you round into – that's what they call it, mid-season form, you know?
Right.
But just the fact that we won the games is the only thing that will matter. You know, the turnovers, as long as they can stop doing it and we're going to – you know, you can't –
Yeah, I don't think the defensive line has gelled yet.
They haven't been that great, no, but just our back seven has been unbelievable.
Yeah,
and watch once the defensive line starts wreaking havoc.
Yeah, there's only been three sacks amongst defensive line so far.
Right, and last year they had like their defensive line just got every sack.
Yeah, they were second in the league, or they were tied for first in the league in sacks actually.
Right, they will step by. And, you know, personally, I don't like Babin. I wish the guy that everybody said, you know, the Eagles, they're so good at spin. They tell us that Graham, this is going to be the year he steps up and proves to everyone he's better than Jason Pierre-Paul. Like, dude, you know, you guys screwed that up. You know, you should pick Paul.
Yep.
Clearly. He's not. He plays like six snaps a game. That tells you how they feel about the guy.
Yeah,
he's not that good. he'd be playing more than seven snaps a game. Because honestly, Trent Cole is awesome, but Babin is not very good. You know, the 18 sacks, that was like a home run hitter who does nothing but swing for the fences.
Yep.
Every pitch, you know, eventually some are going to go over this park. But, you know, if you don't have any responsibility in the run game at all and they can run to your side really easily, then how good is that 18 sacks?
Yeah.
Had you played a more responsible game, you'd have had less sacks. And he knows how to make money, though. So,
yep.
Not to say it's a bad, you know, business decision on his part, but it doesn't help the team as much. So I would like to get somebody other than him that could play that side of the field. I was hoping Graham could step up and be that guy, but it's not looking like it so far. But yeah. Who knows? It's a long season, so we'll see.
Yeah. So what do you think about the game on Sunday against Arizona?
I think they're going to blow them out if they don't turn the ball over.
Think so, huh?
Yeah. I mean, yes, they're good and everything. They have a good defense, but so do Baltimore. Right now, our offense, if it doesn't stop itself, I don't see it. Maybe San Francisco would be able to stop us. But Arizona, I don't think so. I don't think they're better than Baltimore. So if we turn the ball
totally
over,
agree.
The game could be close. But they're not going to score on us. So, you know, like if you look at Cobb's numbers, they've been bad.
Right.
They've been winning on their defense. And Patrick Peterson, we got to watch out for him.
Yeah, definitely.
He's been awesome. But I think
they
win
sure
without turnovers.
If Macklin is out?
No, he missed practice today. That's all we know. We're taping this Wednesday afternoon.
Right.
But they don't. They haven't ruled him out. I'm sure it'll probably be questionable.
I tell you what, it looks like the Eagles made the right call with Brandon Boykin. He made a couple big plays.
Yep. He's looking
Sunday.
Good.
Well, yeah.
And Matt DeSean Jackson is invested this year. That
Ed Reed was barreling down at him.
What a throw by Vic! That was awesome. That was an awesome play. That was like 43 yard. I mean, it was just a perfect. There was just this little tiny 6-inch square window he could drop that ball in 50 yards down the field, and he did. Perfect.
Yeah, it was
awesome.
It was a lot of concentration involved knowing that Ed Reed is coming for you.
Yep. So it was a great – anyway, so, yeah, I think – yes, I'm not scared. I'm not. It's all about the Eagles. If they turn the ball over, then Arizona has a chance. If they don't, I don't think it's that close, honestly, because I don't think Arizona is going to score points. They're going to have in somewhere in the teens. So as all we have to do is put up 20, I think, and we win the game. And I don't see how they're going to stop us. You know, again, unless we turn the ball over, especially and give them short fields, they could score more. But so,
yeah, it was nice to see them too kind of feature Brent Celek a little bit, because he has been a little bit. Remember, like 2 years ago, he showed a lot of those flashes, and you were like, man, he's going to be one of the best tight ends in the league. And then he didn't kind of repeat his performance last year.
Vic
loves to throw to him.
Towards the very end of the year, he started getting Vic and him, and he started getting started getting good rhythm together, and you could see that definitely carrying over. He was, I mean, career day, 157 yards or something like that, most yards by an Eagles tight end since the 60s.
Wow.
Again, it's all about the Eagles' turnovers. If they don't have turnovers, how are they going to beat us, the Cardinals? They can't.
Yeah, I don't see it either.
You know, with turnovers, yes, absolutely, we can lose the game. But without them, right now, here's the thing. A team like that winning in New England, they're going to have a letdown. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Just back-to-back, that's tough for them to beat New England and then us. Again, unless we beat ourselves, you know, it's like the Eagles, if they're a big emotional win over Dallas, the next team, next week, if we're playing, you know, somebody else, they could come in and get us. Because
right. It's
just you can't keep that up like that. So I don't think – no, I think actually we're going to kill them.
Yeah.
I think they're going to not turn the ball over as much this week, and I think it's going to be a blowout. So that's what I think.
One last thing. Nate Allen looks like he's rounding into form finally after recovering from his injury. He's actually leading the team in tackles.
Yeah.
Which is nice to see.
Tackles we had in
yeah.
the last.
Yeah. Well, he's.
Yeah.
That was his thing when they said he was a really smart player and, you know, he knows how to gauge, you know, passes and runs.
Absolutely.
And, he's been making a lot of plays.
Well, last year it was like our linebackers were terrible. Our safeties were terrible.
Yeah.
And this year the linebackers are very good.
Mm-hmm.
And the safeties are good. And Nate Allen, yeah, it takes 2 years to really be fully back from an injury like he had. You blow your knee out, you're just not the same. And he blew it out in December, too. It's just it takes a while to, you know, to trust it.
Yep.
I think he's played really well. And Coleman also, well, he started shaky last year, but he played solidly down the stretch.
He
and
did,
that experience from last year is helping him now. So really we have not spectacular safeties, but solid. And considering the rest, the other three phases of defense were well above average. That, you know, the fact that our safeties are maybe like a B, that's great. That's all we certainly need from them. Because you get an A+ everywhere else almost right now, or at least an A. So B+ for the safety. Like, wow, that's a good defense now all of a sudden. There's no weak link right now. Where's the weak link?
Yeah. You know? Well, here's the only other thing, and we'll take a break and we'll talk about the rest of the NFL and talk some Phillies in a second. But the only other thing that has been inconsistent to me is the special teams, because they were really good week one, and then on the play that killed you this week was when the Eagles gave the Ravens the ball back at the end of the half. Remember how short that punt was?
Yeah, it was a 36-yarder.
Really short field, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The week before, against Cleveland, Henry was killing the ball. He was punting at 60 yards every time.
Yeah, he was. That's true. I didn't. You know, that's a good point. And we gave away 3 points there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Yeah,
they also gave
that's,
up a long. They also gave up a long kickoff return in that game too, and they didn't do that in the first game. So they need to be a little more consistent because that costs you points in the
long
run.
Let's not forget though that sometimes the other team's good. So sometimes you have to. Now with a punt, that's not the case, but with the returns, you know, you can't always stop those guys. But they did a pretty good job against Cribs in the first week.
They did.
He's really good.
And he's very good. Exactly.
Yeah, they need to be more consistent. You're absolutely right. So we'll have to look for that going forward. But yeah, I mean, you like what you see. Here's the thing. In the end, it can't do anything but benefit the team greatly that they've had two touchdown drives at the end of the game.
Exactly.
And two stops on defense because there's time for both teams to come to get a field goal. And the defense made the plays both times. So that helps both sides of the ball. And when they get in this situation, everything – it's not going to be going – so everything will just slow down. We've done this before, guys. We did it twice in a row. Hey, we can do it again. The belief's going to be there.
It's true.
They should be able to that will just help immeasurably throughout the year. And look, if you think about it, so far there's been four ends of halves that the Eagles have played, and they scored a touchdown at the end of three of them.
That's true.
I mean, that is just gigantic. That's 21 points. The Eagles only have, 41 points on the year.
Right.
That's over 50% of their total scoring.
Right.
Just at the end of the first half in the first game and the end of the second half of both games.
Yep.
So that's just clutch. That's so clutch. We're not used to that. Defense played great. We're not used to that. This could be a fun year. Again, it all hinges on the turnovers. Can't stress that enough.
Yep.
If they can eliminate the mistakes, I don't see really the limit. The sky is definitely the limit. I just think it could be a fun year.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's come back and we'll talk about some of those other teams. Talk about maybe some surprises early on in the season. We'll do what's making Murdoch mad and all the other good stuff. So you guys stick around. This is the Upon Official Review podcast.
Last word in Philly sports.
That's right. That's us. Don't go any freaking where. It is the Upon Official Review podcast. It is your boys, Magnum and Murdoch, now doing our thing like we do all of the time, especially during football season. We love to give you guys the updates on the birds and everybody else. Before we get into more NFL.
A little knowledge on.
Exactly. We love our sports just like
we're
you guys.
We're like public servants.
I would say that's pretty accurate. That's pretty accurate.
Absolutely. We serve the people.
Yeah,
you
do. We're men of the people. No doubt about it. The people's champions, maybe even.
You might say. You might.
Without the annoying Freddie Mitchell type dances and things.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
But before we get into it,
drop elbows on anyone either.
No. Maybe we should though.
We probably should.
You know what? There are some people that deserve it.
I'm gonna give a lot of people that I wish I dropped an elbow on. But...
Dallas fans that live in Philadelphia, I would
Dallas
love to elbow.
Dallas fans that live anywhere other than
anywhere,
Dallas.
Exactly. Yep, I would love
in
to.
In fact, even Dallas fans that live in Dallas. Screw them too, because.
They can get it too.
Yep.
Y'all can get an elbow too, absolutely. Yep. And speaking of things that make us mad, it is time for this week's segment of What's Making Murdoch Mad. So Murdoch, tell them.
Who are you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? Don't you know I'm loco?
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
All right. This week, these stinking replacement officials are making me mad, and I know I am not alone here. It is an outrage. I am outraged to the highest level that these guys are in, and I had to hear after the first week, oh, they did a pretty good job, you know. No, they didn't. They called like 5,000 holding penalties against the Eagles and none against the Browns. It was like 12-2. And you telling me the Browns only had 2 penalties that game? Bullcrap. They committed holds too. They say you could call a hold on every play. Well, they called one on every play against us. Every time we got a first down, they called a hold. And they never did it once against the other team. So it was totally lopsided. And I'm sure the Eagles did commit a lot, but they could have found a couple more on the Browns. That's all I'm saying, to make it a little more even. And, you know, they were giving away, you know, extra timeouts in the first week. This week, it totally went to hell, you know. Now, to be fair, the baseline isn't no bad calls, because the old officials had bad calls, too.
Yep.
The baseline is however many bad calls would be on an average week from last year. But, yeah, even so, week two was an unmitigated disaster. There was, I mean, the games took 4 hours because those guys don't know what they're doing. Like a 10-yard holding penalty, they mark off 30 yards for it. And I'm looking,
this looks about right.
Line up at the play, and I'm thinking, Baltimore's at the 45 right now? How the hell did they get that far? And I'm like, I swear that last play is a run at the 35, and I got totally confused. And I'm thinking, and then they eventually, you know, figured out that they were
Harbaugh screamed at him. That's what happened. Harbaugh screamed at him too,
and then the guy came in and threw him in. Yeah, this isn't going to work. Because I noticed right away, I'm like, wait a second. What's going on here? Why are they at the 45? Like, I mean, I like that they're at the 45. That
we'll
doesn't
take it.
Seem right. Like, because I'm pretty sure the last play was, like, way closer to the field. And then I'm thinking, how many yards is an offensive pass or a defense or an offensive pass interference now? And I'm, like, confused. Is that, like, 15 yards now or something? Like, what is going on? So they eventually figured it out. But just simple stuff. They couldn't get the forward pass that Vic threw. Like, you know, the problem is these refs are staring right at it. They don't want to make the call. They don't want to have to make a call. They just stand there and do nothing. So instead now it's a fumble based on the fact that he didn't want to demonstratively blow his whistle. They'd rather do nothing. Like, I was watching the I have the Red Zone channel, so I get all the different games. You know, I get to see parts of them all. And which, first of all, everyone needs to get that, by the
Fantastic.
Way. Spend the $40. It is the greatest thing ever. Anyway, so St. Louis scores, and the ref is looking right at it. I mean, it's clear. I mean, literally, he's like five feet away from the ball.
I know what play you're talking about.
6 inches
I know
above
exactly
the
what play you're talking about. Yep.
And you could see it clear. I saw it in real time, and they showed the officials view down the line, and the official's like 3 feet away, and the ball's right there. It's unobstructed. You can see the ball is like 6 inches above the goal line. So you can see the line, and you can see the ball going right across it. And this is a camera angle that's way behind the official. The official has even a better view, and he's looking right at it. But he doesn't make the call. He's looking around hoping someone else will raise his hands to call a touchdown. Because he doesn't want to be the one on the hook for being the one to make the call. They do nothing rather than do something. They all look around and hope someone else will make the call. That's the problem. So it ends up not being a touchdown because he doesn't raise his arms. Even though he knew it was a touchdown. Everyone knew it was a touchdown. Then the guy spikes the ball and they call 15 yards. And now it can't be reviewed. It's just like it's a disaster. Get it together. I blame the league and I blame the officials. The officials are being greedy. The league's being greedy. They should just meet in the middle immediately. But you know what? Honestly, the NFL, these, I mean, I don't know. Can they just totally bend over backwards? No. You know, if the officials are asking for unreasonable stuff, then the officials have them by the balls, and next time they'll know that all they have to do is hold out and they'll get whatever they want. So you can't just say the league needs to give them whatever they want, because obviously that's going to be bad for them in the future, long term.
Right.
To me, that's why I said it's got to be a compromise. These guys, both sides, have got to meet in the middle. This is ridiculous. I cannot have this again. And honestly, as much as I'm an Eagles fan, we should have lost that game, because really that pass interference call, that was weak against Baltimore in the end zone.
Oh, really? You think that offensive pass interference?
I saw the review. Mm-hmm. Like, he sort of did touch him with his hands, but Asamoah didn't have any of his momentum halted at all. Like, he didn't push him or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, he kept going forward exactly the same way as he was, which leads me to believe he didn't push him, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If nothing changes about the way Asamoah was moving, he didn't really do much. It was just – at that I hate it when they call these things different at the end, so I would never say because it's that part, but I just – I don't see really that's – we got lucky on that one, really, honestly. A no-call – nobody would have – like, if they hadn't caught anything, there wouldn't be any story about, oh, there was pass interference in the end zone. Like, when I first saw it, I didn't think, and when I still see it, I try to be, non-partial. I can't see it. I think that was a bad call. If that had happened, reverse it. If the Eagles had done that, I just really – we would have flipped out if they call that on us.
Yeah, so, probably true.
So they did a bad job. Terrible job. It's got to end. So that's what's making me mad this week.
Yep, I am with you on that. The I watched a little bit of the Monday night game.
The Monday night game was
It was brutal. The first quarter took like an hour and change. It was nuts.
The game took so long. They don't know how to. They don't know what they're doing.
No, and these really guys don't.
Apparently they don't watch football, because I know the rules much better than them. And I have a specific kind of a mind that picks up on certain things. I know not everyone watches football and ends up knowing minute details and little known rules and stuff like that. I do, but they should be able to know it better than just somebody who's never seen the football. That's what it seems like. You get a couple of players who've never watched a football game in their life trying to figure out what to do. The fact that none of them want to make a call, so they end up that's making a call. Not making it, not putting your arms up as a touchdown is calling it down at the one. Yeah. That's not how they look at
there's,
it. They don't want to do
there's
anything.
A lot
they
of late.
They want
really
somebody
late
else
calls.
To do it. They want to be bailed out. You know, let's go to the how the NFL is not at least giving people an extra challenge is beyond me.
That's probably true. Yeah, they probably do deserve another challenge. First of all,
let's just have everything come from the booth. It works great in the last 2 minutes. College football does that all game long. Why shouldn't we do it all game long?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. And enough of this team. That's what it should be. And the team shouldn't be able to go up and snap it quick. You buzz down right away and say, nope, stop the play, pause the clock for 5 seconds while I look at this replay again real quick. Oh, no, okay, it's fine, keep going. And even if they did snap a play, then you go back in time, and a play doesn't count. To me, the whole we'll snap it quick, so we got a bad call in our
favor. Yeah, that's pretty lame. That's definitely true.
So we got to end this somehow, some way. So anyway, well, let's go around the league. What were your impressions from week two? What was the first? What stood out from you, good and bad?
Well, let me ask you this specifically. We'll both answer this. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 2-0 teams.
Yep.
And
5 and 6 0-2. Only one team in the NFC is 0-2. The Saints.
Yeah, that's the first team I was going to bring up. How do you think they're going to manage the rest of the season? Do you think because you picked them to win the division? Didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I thought everyone was saying, "Oh, they're not going to have a great year," and I thought that was overblown. But boy, it sure looks like that now. They have no defense. You thought Spagnuolo would be able to, do well calling the defense, but boy, he's been awful. Or their defense has been awful.
Yeah, they really have. Yeah, like I said,
I don't trust them now. If you can if you're giving up 35, 37 points a game, I don't think you're not going to be able to win football games very often.
All right, so who's the most surprising 2-0 team? Are there any?
Got to be the Cardinals, right?
Yeah, it's definitely got to be the Cardinals.
They beat New England, and New England killed every survivor pool in the country.
You're right about that. New England was a 13.5-point favorite, correct?
Yeah, well, when I was
And I don't think Tom Brady's ever lost a home opener, ever.
Really? Wow.
Pretty.
Yeah, I mean, that was wow. And they had the game. Oh, man.
They gave it to him a couple times.
Arizona gave it to him with that turnover at the end, but yep. Boy. Anyway, so that's very surprising. But it's just – and everyone says, oh, it's so crazy. You know, it's not any more crazy than it was 20 years. You know, you can't make money gambling on football. You couldn't do it 20 years ago. You can't do it now. It's so – you know, it's crazy every year. You yep. can't make money gambling on football. I don't even think you can make money if you didn't have point spreads to deal with. If you were just literally betting $100 to win 100,
pick winners, yeah.
If it was a 50, if the money line was even every time, and there was no favorites, you'd still lose money. You maybe would over the very long, you know, over the long haul, you eventually would make money, I guess, depending on how many games you played every week. But boy, I can still see a lot of people losing money even if that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, how much would you have bet on New England if you could have got them for even odds, just to win? I mean,
oh yeah. Absolutely.
As much
that,
as you
bet your house on that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it get and you lose. Bang. Done.
Yep.
It's over. They lose the game. Oh, and that would have been a heartbreaking missed field goal. If you had
yep.
your house on
yes.
riding on it. That's no, why you don't gamble the house. That's why you don't actually do that. You know?
It'll be like living in your car, player.
Yeah, seriously.
So yeah, like just with the past week, Dallas got smoked after handling the Giants.
Oh well yeah, absolutely.
Which we love, but I didn't. Nobody, I don't think anybody saw that coming. Like
no,
they got,
I mean, let's look at this. Let's look at this. Ready? Pittsburgh got smoked by Denver in the first week, right? Okay, now follow me out. The Jets blew out Buffalo.
They
then
them, yeah.
40, the Jets got smoked by Pittsburgh in week two,
and
right?
10.
And then Denver got smoked by Atlanta. I mean, it's just wheels within wheels. And they just look completely different. So at this point, we have no idea what's going on.
That's true.
It's crazy. But you know, San Fran looks to be great, right? And Houston. San Fran, Houston. If you had to pick a Super Bowl matchup as the most likely right now,
that's
which is
probably
stupid
it.
To do at week three.
Right.
But we'll do it anyway. Mm. It would be San Fran and Houston. And Houston, I think, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, in 3 weeks, if the Eagles turn the ball over once in the next 3 weeks and win them all, and then everyone's going to be saying, you know, the Eagles and San Fran are the two best teams in football with Houston, you know. But, you know, it could change. You know, part of it is, let's be honest, Houston probably wins the Super Bowl last year if their quarterback doesn't get hurt.
That might be true.
You know, that swings the season. Who mm-hmm. stays healthy? Who has a quarterback? You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Their wideout got hurt, too. Andre Johnson, he played in the playoffs.
He almost beat New England with T.J. whatever, Yates.
Yeah,
their
yeah.
third stringer,
they
still won. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they definitely, to me, you know, again, injuries are going to happen. Some team is going to get screwed with a quarterback going down for the year. That will happen. Happened to Chicago and Houston last year.
All right, a couple more knee-jerk reactions. Chicago, they looked horrible against Green Bay. Horrible. Do you think that Jay Cutler will ever be a winner? Because he just, to me, he's the anti-leader. He'll never be a leader. But can you... I mean, I'm sure there's other quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls that haven't had any leadership qualities, but I can't think of any off the top of my head right now. I don't know. That team scares me because of just I don't know about the way he leads that team.
He's going to have those games, some terrible games sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're just going to have to – he just looks like he doesn't give a crap.
Exactly. He just looks like he doesn't care.
But maybe – I mean, he does care. But if he didn't care, he wouldn't be yelling at his linemen.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
So, I mean,
but he also
not to say that's a good quality of his or anything like that. Yeah, I'm just saying, obviously, if you don't care at all, then why even bother?
Right.
But
the other thing, Kansas City's 0-2, and they've looked horrible.
Yeah, I think they're legitimately awful. Yeah,
no, I don't think anybody saw. A lot of people had them winning the AFC West.
No, I'm saying I think they're legitimately
awful.
Yeah, I thought they were going to be better.
I don't think anybody thought that.
I did. I thought that. I think I had them picked. I didn't pick them
years ago.
Either third or fourth, either them or Oakland. But I didn't believe in them.
Yeah, they won the AFC West 2 years ago, and they got players back.
They weren't going to win it this year.
Yeah, I didn't see
San
that.
San Diego looks like they're finally pulling it together.
I didn't see Tennessee being 0-2.
Chris Johnson's done.
He's
done.
Wow.
You know what happened? He got paid, and now he doesn't care.
He does not care at all.
Tell he got his money and he was that was all his motivation. Now he does not give a crap and he gets 6 yards every week.
Yep,
he's done as an elite runner. You'll never see him be elite again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shout out to everybody who drafted him in fantasy. There must be
that's gonna happen again. That's never happening again. He'll never get drafted high in fantasy.
Nope.
That will never happen again. So. Oh, and I don't think he'll ever be good. He's only 25, so he still should have a couple years left. But
you can get
done.
It. Yeah,
he's done.
Let's quit. One other thing that that kind of surprised me this past week was, Seattle looked good. I liked Russell Wilson. St. Louis, I didn't think that they would beat the Redskins after the Redskins' Week 1 performance.
Here's one thing I think about. Everybody overreacts. Washington, you know, last year I thought John Fox did a great job by putting the offense he did around Tebow.
Oh, yep.
Most NFL coaches are going to say, you have to play my offense whether you like it or not. He actually designed the offense around the players he had and put a college offense in there. Most people would not do that.
It's true.
And he got the most out of his players. Shanahan is doing exactly the same thing this year. And kudos to him. It's best in the short term, but this is not a long-term viable strategy to win games. As they get more tape on this, the option is not going to work in the NFL. You know, they surprised anyone that they ran it in the first week. They ran it again the second week. This is not going to work by week three. They've got plenty of tape now, I'm telling you. That's not going to – now, not to say they're going to keep going to it. I think their plan probably – if they're smart, their plan was we'll do this for the first couple weeks to get them comfortable. But once teams start to adjust, we're going to keep asking them to do more and more – run a more and more pro-style offense. Andrew Luck has been running – I think Andrew Luck has more on his plate maybe than any rookie ever as far as what he's being asked to do.
Right.
And he's been pretty good. They've both been pretty darn good so far. But I think actually Shanahan has eased Griffin in more than Indianapolis has eased Luck in. And honestly, Washington's benefited as a team from that. Because
right.
you saw the three picks from the first week in Indianapolis, and Griffin started great.
Right.
So I actually think Washington's had a smarter game plan. But going forward, they're going to have to adapt because you're not going to win with the option in the NFL. It's just not going to happen.
Yep. Yep. One last thing in the AFC, the Patriots. I feel like Wes Welker has been invisible. Do you think that the Patriots are doing that on purpose since he held out? Or...
Yeah, I wonder if they want to trade him, right? Do you think
so?
I kind of think so. That's what Belichick does that. He did that with Randy Moss when they traded him.
Yep.
But now that didn't they get somebody else hurt, so now they have to kind of
– Aaron
Hernandez is hurt. Yeah, so now they may need him anyway, so – You know, he's getting older, so it's going to happen eventually, I guess.
Yeah.
It was always kind of weird that there was a white guy that was that good at wide receiver.
But here's the thing. Is everybody would he be able to do that on any other team with any other quarterback? I don't know.
Well, he was pretty good in Miami, actually. Let's not, when they traded for him, they gave up a second-round pick.
Right.
So it's not like they gave a fourth-round pick for Randy Moss, put it to you that way.
Huh, interesting.
So Welker had definitely had put up, obviously, leading catches 2 years or whatever in a row. That was with Brady, but he still did have good numbers in Miami. He was a good player in Miami. Right. So there's no question he's a good player. No question also he's benefited from having Brady. I mean, anyone would, of course, get a guy like that throwing you the ball. But, yeah.
And playing in the
I feel like that Belichick may be wanting to trade him. I don't know.
Could be.
Never know with Belichick.
Could be. All right. Good stuff on football, sir. Good stuff. Let's talk Phillies real quick. And then we'll do tweet of the week and do some shout outs and get out of here. But what are we three? Are we 3.5 out right now?
3.5 out right now.
With 16 to go.
15. I think there's 14 games. Let's see. Philly 74-74. There's 14 games left.
Yeah. Wow.
81's half. So.
So it did look like that the death knell was in Houston, like we were afraid of.
Yeah, because there's too many teams to go across right now.
Yep.
Right now, we're actually 4 games out right now. So I guess St. Louis must have won late night or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're 4 games out. Pittsburgh's 3.5 out. Milwaukee's 2.5 out. Dodgers are 1.5 out. See, Milwaukee and us are right there, and Milwaukee's 2.5 out now. We should be, if we won all 3 of those games, we'd be 1 out. If we won 3 or 4, we'd be 2 out. You know, I mean, that's what we...
That hurts.
Should be 1 or 2 out. You know, it's just brutal.
That hurts.
We have to go, like, 14-2. That's what it boils down to.
Mm-hmm.
Can we do that? Probably not, but that... I mean, you know, we're at 74 wins. Or we're 12-2, sorry. So that would get us to 86.
Mm-hmm.
But even so, St. Louis could go... St. Louis could go 8-6 at Pius.
Right.
8-6 is not that great of a record. They can pull that off. And honestly, St. Louis has a ton of games against Houston and Chicago, the two worst teams in baseball.
Wow.
There's 8 games left between those two teams. And they're not going to blow it like we did. So I just – honestly, Houston – or St. Louis is much more likely to go like 10-4, which puts – we would have to then go 14-0. Do I think the Eagles or the Phillies are going to go 14-0? Probably not. Yeah,
they
choked in Houston. Let's call it what it was. That game on Saturday night was pathetic. They had a lefty throwing 86 miles an hour. They loaded the – and he had like 5 walks. He threw 50% strikes and balls. He couldn't throw a strike. And they didn't score a run. Unbelievably pathetic performance by that team. They didn't show up. Not one. Kendrick had been hearing about how great he was doing and was satisfied. Clearly did not show up prepared to play against a bad team. Thought, oh, I'm Kyle Kendrick. I'm the second coming of Sandy Koufax now. And this team's bad. They're beneath me to even
Kyle worry. Koufax.
That's what I thought his attitude was.
Yeah.
That he was just going to show up because he'd had, what, 5 good starts in a row?
Yeah, like 4 or 5 good starts in a row, yeah.
Yeah, and now he doesn't have to worry about it because it's a bad team. And the rest of the team, it's like they all had that attitude, and it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I have to say, Ryan Howard, whether it's because of injury or not, should never be allowed to bat against a left-handed pitcher. he's batting 170 against him this year with a 5.05 on-base plus slugging. His on-base plus slugging is lower than Chooch's slugging by itself.
Oh,
he cannot
ouch.
Hit lefties. And they were walking Utley to get to him, and they said, well, Howard didn't get a good swing against us all weekend. I mean, that, if the other manager is walking guys to put more guys on base to pitch to your $25 million player, you know you probably shouldn't have signed him for $25 million.
Oof, that hurts, dude. You should see my face right now. I'm just like, yeah, I'm
hurts.
Singing pain.
It hurts.
It does hurt.
Yeah, it hurts. The truth hurts, man. But right now, you know, and if it's 100% on the injury, I guess, but he hasn't hit lefties in a couple years. So, you know, do I think he'll be better next year? Yeah. Do I think he'll be great against lefties? No, I don't. I think he's a platoon player. Luckily, he's a left-handed guy because that means 80% of the league is right-handed pitching.
Right.
But I think he should. I don't think he should play against lefties. I don't. I'm sorry. He hasn't hit them in like since 2007. At this point, it's not. It's a trend, yo. You know, he's not going to be good against lefties. He's going to strike out when they throw curveballs. You know, the Yankees
Yuck.
Put that blueprint out there in 2009,
yep.
and he had like 12 strikeouts, and ever since then. That's how they pitched him, and he hasn't adjusted. So, to me, until he proves he can hit lefties, I think they should platoon him, and they shouldn't start him against lefties. I'm sorry.
Hmm.
Because you could get a guy in there that could bring a little bit more to the plate on defense. And, again, righties are 4 out of every 5 starters are right-handed, so he would play the majority of the games even so. He'd still play 120 games. That would probably give him a little more time to rest, too. I think the team would be better off. Do I think they're going to do that? No, because it shows up tomorrow for spending $125 million.
Yep, sure it does.
I'm not
sure
going to admit that was a mistake. You know, I like Howard. I wish he made $15 million. That would be reasonable. $25
yep.
million is insane. You have to be Miguel Cabrera or Mike Trout this year.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
It's the only kind that's worth $25 million. You have yep. to be like MVP level.
Yep.
So.
All right. Well, that's, you know, it's radical thinking, but I like it. You know, and it's
hey,
definitely true.
It's been a few years. You know, he can't
yeah.
hit lefties at this point. You know,
mm-hmm.
why are we going to bury our heads in the sand and act like, yeah, he's good against lefties? Like, no. You know, again, if he was a right-handed hitter and couldn't hit righties, that'd be way worse because every pitcher's a righty, mostly,
mm-hmm.
80%. Like, if you're off once every 5 days, you can still pinch hit him in those games.
Right.
That's not really that big a deal. It's just a few days off here and there. But
yeah.
the team, you know, you could bring in this kid that hit all the home runs, and what's his name? And, what's the kid's name that hit 40 home runs this year in the minor leagues? He just had a couple.
I can't think of his name.
Pitch hit at bats, but he's a righty. He can play against lefties.
Mm-hmm.
And why not have it like that? I mean, the guy obviously has power, and he hit like 390 against lefties in the minors this year. It would be perfect.
There you go, boom.
And he hit 20 home runs in August. Only Sammy Sosa, as a professional, ever hit 20 home runs in a professional month. Sammy Sosa, when he was juiced out of his mind. So this kid did what only one other player ever had done. 20 in a month. That's unbelievable.
That's really impressive. Yeah, absolutely.
His name's Roof. Darren Ruff.
Darren
right?
Ruff. Yeah, Ruff. Yeah.
Why can't
yeah,
he play? Why can't he play
Babe
once a week? Yeah.
Babe
would
Ruff.
It be that? Would that be that big a deal to have him play once a week? I don't
yeah.
think so. I mean,
no.
It's not that insulting. And if Howard's insulted, get better at lefties or go to the bank every Monday and cash that huge paycheck, and you might not feel so bad still.
Yeah,
he's still getting paid, whether he's insulted or not, you know? So it can't be too bad. You can insult me for $100 million all you want, you know? I would be insulted daily for a $100 million contract. You know what I mean? That wouldn't be very insulting. Same I would there. Be laughing all the way to the bank.
Yep, exactly. Yep. I'll shove dollars in your mouth until you shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Look, when I say this, am I ignoring the great years he had for us? The fact that we probably don't win a World Series with him? No. Mm-hmm. Just saying, going forward right now, this is what would help the team most. That's what I'm saying. You know? I know a lot of people might not want to hear it, but Utley, you know what? Be honest, I don't think Utley should play against lefties either. He needs days off. He can't hit lefties either. Neither one of those guys. And they certainly shouldn't be batting middle of the order against lefties. This is the kind of outside-the-box thinking I wish Phillies management had.
Yep, we wish.
You know, if you must play them against lefties, bat Ryan sixth, bat Utley second or seventh or something like that, because those guys are not middle-of-the-order hitters against a lefty starter. They're just not.
Yep.
And it hurts the team. So, yep. I don't know.
I agree.
We'll see.
All right. Well, I say, sir, it's time to get to the tweet of the week.
All right.
And then we'll do some shout-outs. So, let's get to that.
La, 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 don't wait till I get my Twitter right. La, 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 then you can't tweet me nothing right. Excuse me, did you tweet something? You can't tweet me nothing.
All right, gang, this week, tweet of the week. Tough to come up with one, so I'll give you two. Tweets,
two
plural
tweets.
Of the week. Exactly.
Two for the money.
Exactly.
Two for the price of one. Can't get away with that.
No, you can't. You can't. Where else do you get that? Nowhere.
No. Nowhere. That's
Maybe nowhere. Maybe if you have a coupon, but you don't even need a coupon for this.
You don't need. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So both of these tweets I thought were very poignant. They're very
poignant. Oh, well,
yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. They're very topical. They resonate with me because I thought they were just very on point. The first one having to do with baseball, tweeted by our buddy Matt Gelb at MAGELB Magelb. I don't know how you pronounce that, but he tweeted, "I have no idea how they will record these final eights out. These final eight outs." The 2012 Phillies yearbook. It's true.
Oh, that is good. That is so true. Wow. Wow, yeah. Wow. Yeah. That is the story of the year right
there.
That
really was, yeah. If you have to watch this season again, that's exactly what you'll wonder. Like, how are we going to get from the seventh inning to the end of the game? It's brutal. And then by another one of my favorite people, at Juicy Couturier. It's play off, obviously, the fashion brand Juicy Couture, but taken from Sean Couturier's last name. Combined, there you go, Juicy Couturier. So, obviously, she's a Flyers fan. And she tweeted...
And a fashion fan. Which
yeah,
I,
there you go.
I totally knew.
Nice cut. I'm sure you did.
Absolutely.
So, she tweeted, a car commercial just said that they have lockout protection. The NHL should have that. Which is, we wish
good.
The NHL
yep.
did have
yes, it. Yes, we do.
Because they are locked out. I did hear.
Downhill. Hey, I should be, first of all, I feel the commissioner of all sports.
Yes,
I know
yes.
Simmons had this idea of the czar of sports. I would be a better one than him. You know, the NHL would start in August and it would end in February. How
yes.
awesome would that be?
Yes.
February sucks for sports. Now you'd have the NHL playoffs. The NHL wouldn't have to go up against the start of the baseball season and the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
They would get all the viewers.
Yep.
Like, how smart? Of course, duh. And it's like, well, we don't want to play in August. It's summer. You play in June right now. That's the summer. What's the difference?
Yep.
And honestly, your important games would be in the winter, which is what it should be. The
yep.
least important games at the beginning of the year would be in the summer.
Yeah, exactly.
If you have to play any games in the summer, they shouldn't be the finals.
Yep.
Nobody can think about hockey in June. It's just not hockey weather.
Nope.
That would be so much smarter.
And the fact that it's on at the same time as the NBA.
Stupid.
Most fans are watching the NBA.
This way, it would be better for the fans because – February would now be awesome.
Yep.
And that would take us right into March Madness, which would take us right into baseball, which would take us right into the basketball playoffs. Think about it. You'd have football right into – it would be awesome from the start of football through the end of the NBA finals. So you'd have – the worst time of the year would be the baseball regular season, which is pretty good in and of itself. It would fix the sports calendar. I'm sorry. This is just – and they would make more money. Yeah. Everybody wins. Everybody wins. How has this not happened?
No one knows. No one knows. So let's do some shout outs.
Shout out to everybody in the hood. Shout out to everybody smoking that glue. Shout out to everybody in the club. Everybody getting live from the geeks to the thugs.
So we'll sign off. Do you have anybody you got in mind?
Yeah, we got a new follower, Amanda Parker. Follow her at A Parker with three R's. So A P A R K E R R R. So it's A Parker.
That's actually relevant because today is National Speak Like a Pirate Day.
It is.
It is.
They have a day of that. That's
they
awesome.
Do.
Who comes up with that? How do they make a national day?
Don't know. Look it up, though, dude. I'm telling you.
No, I believe you, but I'm just like, who just gets to decide we're gonna have that?
I don't know. I wish I could make days up.
Yeah, I mean this was a good one. This is a good national. Yeah, wow.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What if she changed it just for today?
No, it's been like that. I'm pretty sure.
Picture should have an eye patch.
Eye patch and a hook. Yes.
Yes. And a peg leg and a pedal.
a parrot. No doubt about it.
That's definitely. Yep. But anyway, she's cool. She likes Philly sports. So follow her. And she's a good follower of ours. So we wanted to say hi to her.
Definitely check her out. Also, these people you definitely want to follow at MRush353. She's really cool. At Lady of the Link. That's LINC. Obviously, an Eagles fan. There's some Ab.
I wanna... And a lady. I always go, I'm going to go out on a limb.
Exactly.
Is she a lady also? Okay. Probably.
Ab at number one Phillies fan. That's N-O-1 Phillies fan with an F, not with a P-H like some people do. That annoys me.
That annoys me too. Enough of that P-H.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're from Philly and you're a fan. Wow. How clever. No one ever thought of that before. You are so unique. I just pissed off. Like, there's probably like of our followers, like, 7,000 of them have fan spelled with a PH somehow in their name.
Definitely follow my boy at JW Vertical Jump. He's real cool. Definitely a huge Philly sports fan. And also at Connor Schenk, ConorSHenk. That's going to do it for me. And that's going to do it for the show. We're going to put a bow on this, put a tortilla on it, wrap it up. Al, I will speak to you next week. Hopefully, the Eagles will be 3-0. And yeah, man.
The Phillies will be like two out.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Let's see. But seven, there'll be seven games left, right? No, there's one day off between now and then. So there'll be six games. So there'll be eight games left. If there are two out with eight to play, they got a pretty decent chance. They're going to need to be.
Yep.
Can't be four out with eight to play. That ain't happening.
Nope.
They're two out with eight to play. Possible.
Maybe. Well, hopefully, sir. We'll keep our fingers crossed. Until then, you guys, take it easy. We will talk to you soon. Peace.
What up, Eagles fans? Here we go again. Realest fans in the NFL showing them. We come to take over. Bird gang's here. Look around. Posting fans seem to be in fear. Let's get it poppin', let's turn it up. Defense got opposing fans burning up. Eagles green fill the stands, time to fly high. Every day, all day, Eagles till I die. No more excuses, time to get it done. And if it do turn bad, we'll never run. I'm on Twitter talking trash, come get some. I call it how I see it, I don't hold my tongue.
Watching them Eagles fly, they fly, yeah. Watching them Eagles fly, they fly.
And I don't know about you, but I ride for my Eagles. I hate Dallas the most, I don't look at them as people. I look at them like they little cockroaches, stomping all the fans out, the players down to the coaches. And I don't like the Redskin fans either. Beat them down four quarters straight, no breather. Grown man with a wig and a dress, no respect, smash on DC and BA's next. Squad deep on the turnpike, headed up the Meadowlands. 50-year conflict, beef never settling. Get it in, up NY like what's up, walk through.